Being a man is like climbing a mountain. It's difficult and dangerous. But a life well lived is like standing on the summit. Jesus is the blueprint for men. And in his journey of life, he needed a purpose, a plan, and a team. Blueprint for Men is a ministry that equips men with all three and encourages you to keep climbing with Christ. A long time ago, a small ship struggled across the Atlantic. Giant waves towered above the mast and threw the tiny vessel violently from side to side. Frigid rain and salty spray coated the slippery decks, and the seasoned sailors kept themselves tied with safety ropes at all times. Rogue waves emerged from the gray mists and smashed the ship, tearing through the riggings and across the decks. No man was safe out in this kind of weather. That's why the captain ordered all the passengers to stay below deck. Crammed in like seasick sardines, men, women, and children suffered in the dank air, reeking with the stench of unwashed bodies, human waste, and vomit. Every hatch was battened down watertight, and the passengers went for days with no sight of sunshine or breath of fresh air. For John Howland, a young adventurer, it was a cruel prison sentence. He felt like a caged tiger. The days of crying children and whining women and coughing men grated on his nerves. He belonged up on deck with the hardy sailors, not down here with the soft family men and nervous women. Several times John had begged the captain just to let him go up on deck, but each time the crusty old seaman had refused. For weeks, John sulked and thought about how unfair life was. He focused on the annoying passengers, the terrible stench, and the stale food. Then one day, John had a chance to finally do something about it. A sailor pushed past John and climbed the ladder to the deck. But instead of closing the hatch like they normally did, this sailor forgot and left it cracked. John could hear the sharp whistling of the wind and felt tiny jolts of cold, fresh air on his face. He grinned mischievously and then bolted up the ladder. John pushed open the hatch and stuck his head outside. Oh, the air was invigorating and oh, so clean and fresh. He took several deep breaths and leapt up the remaining steps to stand out on deck. John's hair whipped in the wind as his wide eyes looked all around. The sky was low and gray, with clouds brushing the tops of the mastheads. The sea was also gray, with frothy foam clinging to the edges of huge swells. Sailors worked high in the rigging, pulling ropes and shouting to each other over the rush of wind and the crashing waves. But then someone saw him and shouted. It was the captain. Ugh, John was caught. The captain was yelling and pointing, and John knew he was in deep trouble. So he turned to go back down the hatch to his stinky prison cell. But then something blocked out the weak light, and John looked up. A massive rogue wave towered over the tiny ship and blocked out the entire sky. It had materialized out of nowhere, and the ship was in a terrible position. The wave struck the vessel sideways, nearly flipping it completely over. The force of the blow pushed the boat so far to one side that the tops of the masts splashed into the sea. The wall of water crashed into John and swept him over the side. The deafening rush and shock of cold water hit John in the chest like a ton of bricks. Water was in his eyes, up his nose, in his mouth. He choked and sputtered and flailed his arms around. Spinning, turning, tossing, John was at the mercy of the angry ocean. Something rough scratched his arm, and instinctively, John grasped at it. It was a rope, and it was attached to the ship. Then the wave was gone. The ship shot back up, and John, still holding onto the rope for dear life, was launched out of the water and into the air, straight towards the solid hull of the ship. John closed his eyes and knew that he would be crushed against the wooden sides. But somehow a wave rose up right before he slammed into the ship. The wave drove John down, deeper and deeper into the darkness. As the surface got further and further away, John's ears popped. His head throbbed as the pressure of the water tried to crush his body. Then the rope went taut. The water rushed past him. John kicked and struggled. And then all of a sudden, his head broke the surface. He sputtered and gulped for air. Sailors shouted and pointed and ran across the deck. They had the other side of the rope, and they began to pull John towards the ship. But the waves kept crashing onto John, pushing him back down deep under the surface. But John held on. He refused to let go of that rope. Each time he emerged, the ship was just a bit closer. But then another wave would just bury him. On board, one sailor grabbed a long hook used when loading cargo and bravely leaned over the edge. John was dangerously close to the ship. If the waves pushed him too close, the hull would come smashing down on him. John's head bobbed above the surface for just a second and then disappeared again beneath the gray water. John's body was beginning to go into shock. The cold water, the violence of being thrashed around, and the gallons of seawater he had swallowed were about to do him in. He came up one more time, and somehow he knew he couldn't hold on much longer. But then the hard metal hook cracked into his ribs. The sea refused to give John up and tugged him back down, but the sailors holding onto the hook would not give up on John. They heaved and pulled, and finally, John was lying on deck, spitting up salt water, shivering violently, and barely alive. Soon, John was back below deck, wrapped in warm blankets and lying on a makeshift bed. No one was sure if John would survive his reckless adventure as he drifted in and out of consciousness. But John Howland, he wasn't a quitter. The same tenacity that clung to the rope kept him hanging on to life. And on November 11, 1620, when the pilgrims of the Mayflower stepped onto North America to explore for a suitable site for a town, John Howland was among them. John was the 13th man to sign the Mayflower Compact, a document that is foundational to America's unique form of government today. He later served as an assistant governor and held many prominent positions on important colonial committees. But John almost missed his moment in history and a long, successful life because he didn't listen to the captain. John thought he knew better, and he didn't trust the captain. Men, how many times are we just like John Howland? How many times do we refuse to listen to our captain, Jesus Christ? We think we know better. We don't want to be cooped up with all the rules and the high standards of Christianity. We want to be up on deck with the fresh air and the freedom to do whatever we want. But just like John, most of us don't recognize reality. John wasn't a sailor. He didn't understand how dangerous the situation was. He trusted in his youthful strength, his quick reflexes, which were nothing compared to the ferocity of that huge wave that knocked him off the ship. But John was also ignorant of the opportunities below deck. John's future wife was below deck. His future boss, a man who would become governor of the colony, was below deck. His health and strength and gifts could have made life more bearable for the many pilgrims who were sick and weak. But John missed out on all those opportunities to become a blessing because during that miserable time, he was only concerned with what he wanted, with his discomfort. And his recklessness almost cost him his life. How often are we just like John Howland? How often do we fail to realize the true danger of sin or think, I don't need God to get through today. I don't need to listen to the captain. How often do we fail to see the people around us as vital parts of our future? Because, like John, we're just focused on our goals or our discomfort. We think, the captain's out of touch. He doesn't know what's best. I know better. But there's another way that we're all like John. We all get a second chance. He was washed overboard, but he was rescued. He did marry that girl, He did sign the Mayflower Compact. He did eat at the first Thanksgiving. He did turn his life around, and John Howland became a blessing. And so can you. Today, you can choose to listen to your captain. You can add value to the people in your life. You can be a blessing. You may never make it into the history books like John Howland of the Mayflower, but if you start today and continue to listen to your captain, you will make a difference in the life of someone special. You will fulfill your purpose as a man, and you will do great things for God's glory. God bless. God is building epic men for these last days of our world's history. Blueprint for Men is a ministry dedicated to equipping, empowering, and inspiring men to go all in for Jesus, to love and protect their families, and to step up in their communities. Follow us on Facebook or go to our website, blueprintformen.org, and learn about our live events, small groups, and adventure trips. Subscribe right now and like this podcast. Jesus is the blueprint for men, and He's calling you out of a life of comfort and into a life of courage.